Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. New, fast-emerging digital threats can fool even the most savvy among us, stealing our money and our identities. Here, building on SilverThread's January B-Scam free program, is Consumer Reports' expert advice on how to protect yourself by Mary C. Hickey. Well, by now, most of us have learned to ignore unsolicited emails from people purporting to be Nigerian princes seeking investors, and we also probably know to decline a digital pop-up solicitation for a bargain vacation in exchange for our bank information. But having this awareness doesn't change the fact that you're still being targeted for fraud. What makes today's con artists so successful is their ability to come up with new schemes as soon as old ones are exposed. And unfortunately, digital technology today has only given scammers intent ripping us off ever more ripe opportunities. The impact of new technology on scams and fraud is immeasurable, says Eva Velasquez, president and CEO of the Identity Theft Resource Center in San Diego. The internet has increased access to incredible amounts of information about potential victims and has made it easier than ever for con artists from around the globe to target them in anonymous and deceptive ways. Here are experts' guide to the newest schemes, how to spot them, and how to proactively avoid them. First, the smishing and spoofing. How it works. With cell phones replacing landlines and texting overtaking email, smart swindlers are moving to mobile devices to commit their crimes. One common ploy is smishing, a variation on phishing, the use of email to trick you into sharing personal information. This version uses SMS, short for short message service, commonly known to as texting, technology. You can get a fake text saying that there's a problem with one of your financial accounts, or maybe a message offering a low-cost mortgage, a discount cruise, or a free gift card. If you respond by text, the scammer will know that the number is viable and may contact you to try to get more sensitive personal information. If you click on the link in the text directly, the scam artist may be able to install malware that can collect personal information, such as account numbers, passwords, etc., from your phone. Even more prevalent are scam calls to your mobile phone. Such calls have quadrupled over the past 2 years, more than half of the cell phone users reporting getting one in the past month, according to a survey by First Orion, an Arkansas-based telecommunications company. Con artists entice people into answering by number spoofing, a technique that uses a familiar area code and prefix to make it appear that the caller is someone you know, or the caller ID might show the cell is ostensibly from a bank, creditor, insurance company, or government agency. Note that the call may start off with a recorded voice, but if you respond, you may quickly get patched through to an actual person. People get caught off guard and may inadvertently turn over personal information or credit card numbers before they have a chance to think, says Jonathan Sesse, a First Orion marketing executive. Your protection plan. Be stingy with your phone number and don't offer it if it's not required. The less you share it, the less likely you are to be targeted. Don't answer calls from numbers you don't absolutely know, even if they appear vaguely familiar. Anyone with a legitimate, important message will use your voicemail. If you do pick up and the caller is not who you expected, never divulge any personal information, no matter how urgent the plea. Be extra cautious if someone claiming to be from a bank or insurance agency or even a government agency is on the other line. Immediately hang up, look up the official number, and call it, not the number the caller gave you, to verify authenticity of the request. Don't click on any link sent to you in a text without first checking that it's from the trusted sender. Also, if a text instructs you to push a key to opt out of future messages, don't do it, because any responsiveness may mark you as in play. Instead, forward the text to 7726, which works for all major carriers, including AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, and Verizon, so that your phone company can block the caller. Ask your carrier for help blocking robocalls. T-Mobile, for example, identifies such calls as spam. Next, the shimmer scams. How does this work? Well, just like credit card issuers, most banks have turned to payment cards where data is embedded in a small chip rather than on a magnetic strip. Financial institutions have done this to combat abuse, including skimming, the con artist practice of attaching devices to ATMs to capture data from debit cards they can use then to create a replica of the card. Enter the shimmer, a thin card-sized gadget that con artists install on ATM machines or gas pumps. These shims contain a microchip that can read and transmit information from your card. Though your chip card cannot be cloned in the same way that a strip card can, bad guys can glean enough information to make purchases using your extracted data. Your protection plan. Whenever possible, use an ATM installed at a bank. Standalone cash machines, those that you might encounter in a convenience store or a mall, or unattended payment systems such as gas stations, are easier for fraudsters to tamper with. Always cover the PIN pad when entering your number in case there is an unauthorized camera nearby. If your card encounters any physical resistance when you insert it into the slot, that may well mean a shimmer has been installed, so don't proceed. Then notify your bank. Keep a close watch on your statements and let your bank know immediately if you spot any unfamiliar transactions. Better yet, sign up to receive alerts on card transactions, particularly for ones that occur without the car being present. And next, here's one that I think is really interesting, Facebook like farming. How it works. Well, on Facebook, have you ever come across a posting that tugs at your heartstrings? Photos of adorable abandoned puppies, say, or a story about a cute little girl who didn't get a happy birthday wish. You instinctively click on the thumbs up or add a comment, happy birthday, and maybe even decide to share the posting. What possible harm could come from that? Well, plenty. Fraud experts say you may be the victim of like farming, a post that's engineered to generate attention so that it will continue to show up in more and more people's news feeds. Once the page creators have generated a certain number of likes and shares, they change the content of the page and promote something more nefarious, like an ad for a bogus business or too good to be true product that you can buy online. Here's your protection plan. The best defense is to think before you like, says Facebook spokesman Peter Voss. Be suspicious of any shared posting that seems designed to elicit an emotional response, especially ones that promise a big donation if a charitable cause, if it garners enough likes. Always be cautious about what you share on social media. Decline invitations from any and all strangers who may not be the person they're posing to be. As you use privacy settings, for example, by allowing only friends to see your comments, imposters often get information about their targets from their online interactions and can make themselves sound like a friend or family member because they know so much about you. Next is the tech support fraud. Fairly familiar, but always helps to review it. Your computer freezes and you get an ominous pop-up telling you to immediately call this number for Apple, Dell, HP, or Microsoft. When you do, you are connected to a technician who informs you that your computer has a virus and all of your files are at risk. It seems legitimate and terrifying. The tech guy might ask for remote access to your device, then guide you through some diagnostic tests where you can see, proof that there is a problem, when in fact, of course, there is none. Such ploys are convincing enough that countless people have turned over credit card information to pay for unnecessary repairs. Even worse, they have allowed swindlers to gain access to their computers, who then install malware, which is software intended to steal your data or capture your keystrokes so that crooks can hack into your accounts. A 2016 global survey by Microsoft found that 2 out of 3 people experienced such a scam in the past year. We get approximately 13,000 complaints each month worldwide from consumers who have experienced tech support scams by fraudsters claiming to be from legitimate tech companies, says Courtney Gregoire, Assistant General Counsel for Microsoft's Digital Crimes Unit. Here's your protection plan. Don't click on any pop-up. Instead, turn off your computer and then restart it to see whether the issue is resolved. If your browser locks up and freezes your screen, try manually restarting. If you still have bona fide glitches, call your computer manufacturer's customer service department directly. But be cautious. Scam artists have tricks to get their listings to come up in a Google search, and you might be fooled into thinking you're calling Apple, Dell, or Microsoft when you're really reaching a scam call center in Russia or somewhere else around the globe. For computers in need of repair, go to a reputable walk-in technician, not someone you encounter online, and never give remote access to your device to anyone you don't know and absolutely trust. That's the same as giving a stranger a key to your front door, Gregoire says. This scam can also happen by phone, so don't be fooled if you get a call from a tech support impersonator who knows your name, address, and what kind of computer you have, and even the operating system or browser that you use. That kind of data is widely available on the web. Microsoft never proactively calls consumers or uses pop-up windows to say there's a problem with your device or software, says Gregoire. And now the white label ticket scam. This one was new to me. Here's how it works. John G. wanted to buy tickets to Love Never Dies, an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, at Playhouse Square in Cleveland. He found them on a ticket resale website he encountered through an internet search and purchased 2 for about $374. But when they arrived in the mail, he noticed that their face value was $35 each. The rest of the charges were fees. This is a total ripoff, not service, John G. wrote in a complaint filed with the Better Business Bureau earlier this year. We tend to hear warnings about flat-out criminal activity, where con artists steal your money or sell you products you never get. But just as common are schemes where consumers actually get something, but for much more than the market price. John G.'s experience is one such example. So-called white label or private label websites like the one he found are designed to look like a legitimate box office site and to entice people into buying tickets to concerts, shows, or sporting events at an inflated price. They use paid ads or rely on search engine optimization tactics to ensure they show up high in browser search results. Protect yourself. Your safest bet is to buy tickets directly from the venue, Playhouse Square in the example, whenever possible, though many also sell tickets through legitimate brokers. If you do use an intermediary, make sure it's well-known and reputable. Check whether it's a member of the National Association of Ticket Brokers, NATB.org, and guarantees a refund if the tickets don't arrive on time. When looking for tickets in high demand, be especially cautious of buying from unregulated and unlicensed scalpers. Before buying any tickets online, carefully read the fine print. Make sure that you have some recourse if the tickets arrive and are not what you expected. Be especially wary of advertisements for cheap tickets you find in a web search. Before entering your credit card number, look for the padlock symbol in the web address bar to make sure that you're on a secure purchasing system. 6. Ransomware. How it works. Criminals hack into your computer files either by first getting you to click on a phony link or to open an email that appears to be from someone you know. The link contains malware that, if inadvertently installed by you, will encrypt your files and make them virtually impossible to use. If you want to unencrypt, you have to pay the crooks a ransom to get your files back. A survey from Symantec, a cybersecurity firm in Mountain View, California, found that criminals demanded an average of $522 per victim. The FTC describes ransomware as one of the most serious online threats facing people and businesses today, and one of the most profitable software schemes around. Protection plan. Err on the side of caution before you click. Even if a link appears to come from a familiar source, a friend's account could have been hacked. Double-check before downloading anything onto your device. Enable pop-up blockers so that you can avoid inadvertently clicking on a bad link. Always back up your important data on a thumb or external drive or by storing the data in the cloud. This way, if your files are destroyed, you still have access. Always install the latest version of an operating system and web browser software on your devices because it's easier to sneak malware on out-of-date software. Last, use well-regarded antivirus software and always click on auto updates. Online charity scams. How it works. According to Jeremiah John Smith, 37, of Faribault, Minnesota, he was dying of cancer. He quit his job and needed to pay for medical care. To raise money, he created a page on GoFundMe.com and collected more than $6,000 from people who were sympathetic to his plight. Unfortunately, for his well-meaning donors, Smith's name was real, but his story turned out to be fake. According to a criminal complaint brought last fall by authorities in Rice County, Minnesota, for theft by swindle, the complaint cited his GoFundMe page as well as several other fundraisers he held. Appeals on websites like GoFundMe, where individuals can raise money for anything from charity to new businesses, have proliferated in recent years. So too have scammers eager to take advantage of people's eagerness to help out those in need. We tend to see an uptick in charity scams following news stories about things like fires, floods, and other natural disasters, said Monica Vacca, Associate Director at the Federal Trade Commission's Division of Consumer Response and Operation. Your protection plan. Donors beware. Crowdfunding sites are largely unregulated. Unless you personally know the individual raising funds, don't give money directly to someone until you verify the claim's legitimacy. Red flags that it's a fake. Using images that have appeared in newspapers or around the web. Vague details about how the funds will be spent, or little or no information about the person organizing the campaign. Never give money to a stranger who solicits you directly or by email or social media. If you are approached by somebody who represents himself to be a part of a charity, check whether the charity is trustworthy by contacting the Better Business Bureau's Wise Giving Alliance, Charity Navigator, Charity Watch, or GuideStar. If you think you have been the victim of a charity scam, file a complaint with the FTC. Your complaints can help lead to crackdowns. Now, who does get scammed and why? The most dangerous attitude any consumer can have is what social scientists call the illusion of invulnerability, as in, I'm too smart to ever fall for a con. No, you're not. And all the data show that everyone, irrespective of age, education, ethnicity, or gender, has the potential to be scammed, given the right circumstances and a scammer who is gifted at, in the parlance of the profession, getting his mark under the ether, or in other words, unconscious of risk. Moreover, the conventional thinking about victimhood is often wrong. When it comes to falling for scams, it's millennials, not seniors, who are most vulnerable. Among those who reported losing money to fraud, those in their 20s accounted for 40%, the single largest group, versus 18% for those 70 and older, according to a 2017 Federal Trade Commission data. However, older adults who do fall victim to scams tended to lose much larger amounts of money compared with younger adults, the FTC found. Experts say losses by the elderly to financial fraud are not only attributable to age-related cognitive decline, but also to the fact that those 65-plus generation controls trillions of dollars, and scammers follow the money. Regardless of age, researchers have been able to identify certain characteristics that distinguish those who get taken in from those who don't. Doug Shadell, author of Outsmarting the Scam Artist, says that the following traits surface at far higher rates in victims than in non-victims. Being eager for bargains. Do you know people who are always on the lookout for investment opportunities and bargains, who send away for promotional materials and enter contests and drawings, and who open all of their mail, electronic or postal, including sales brochures and generic charity commands? That kind of deep regular exposure to what might broadly be called the marketplace makes one ripe to be a scam victim. Susceptibility to persuasion. Several studies conducted by Doug Shadell and his colleagues have found that fraud victims respond with greater interest than the general public to certain statements that con artists rely on to ensnare their prey. This deal is only good for the next 24 hours, or my clients are earning 30% a year on this investment, or a standby with veterans, a group that has become a new favorite target for scammers, from one ex-Marine to another. Well, lacking a defensive strategy. Some victims tend to take fewer measures to prevent or minimize the possibility of fraud. They don't give themselves time after hearing a sales pitch to think before making a buying decision. They neglect to do thorough professional reference checks, and fewer of them sign up for registries that limit unwanted phone calls. Willingness to take risks. Researchers see a strong correlation between this trait and victimization. In part, they speculate because high-risk but legitimate investments often have many outward similarities to fraudulent deals, such as the potential to get better than market returns and the need to make a snap decision. Thus, similar personality types are drawn to both. And finally, facing a rough patch. If you have lost a loved one, gone through a divorce, been laid off from a job, or otherwise experienced some sort of life trauma in the past 2 years, watch out. According to a 2013 Federal Trade Commission study, your odds of being scammed more than double, most likely because coping with difficult life situations takes up cognitive capacity that might otherwise be used to spot scams. That information from Lorraine Glennon. And now, a little review of the four classic scams that still sting, even in an era when a sizable proportion of fraud has migrated online. Most con artists ply their trade on the phone, via U.S. mail, and even door-to-door. Here are a few of the most enduring con games. If you encounter these, simply don't engage. The IRS imposters. New accounts in October 2016 reported that a notorious fraud swindled victims out of up to $150,000 a day by convincing them they owed IRS money. And while news reports in April of last year said that the alleged ringleader of the network of call centers was arrested in Mumbai, this type of con is still going strong. In a recent version making the rounds, scammers targeted deaf and hard of hearing individuals who use a video relay service, a type of video telecommunication, instead of a regular phone. Placing a video phone call, the scammers claim to be from the IRS, providing fake names and IRS identification badge numbers, and ask for personal information. Another variation on this con targets recent immigrants and other non-native English speakers. And then there is the home repairs and security check. Many con artists show up at your doorstep claiming to be contractors offering to inspect your roof or driveway gratis. They then declare it in need of an overhaul, get you to fork over an advance cash payment for supplies, and skip town. Another variation on this theme, representatives who have spotted a home security sign in your yard will knock on your door, hand you a business card, and inform you that while you might not have yet received the official letter, your security company was just acquired by their company, which is now upgrading clients' systems. The scammer then follows what might involve coming inside your home to dismantle your system or install shady or worthless equipment, or get you to sign up a draconian contract. We all know the grandparent scam is still going strong. Many scoffed at the idea of ever falling for this long-running phone until they get called from a grandchild in a loved one desperate need of money to pay for needed medical treatment or getting out of jail. Victims tell us, I knew all about this scam, and yet when I picked up the phone and this person said she was my granddaughter and was in trouble, everything I had in my brain went out the window and my emotions took over, says Amy Knopfinger, a fraud expert at AARP. And of course, the lotteries and sweepstakes. If you didn't buy a ticket, you're not going to win. Well, it might be difficult to believe that people are still finding themselves victims of common frauds like the IRS scam or the grandparent scam. But, you know, we are all human, and fear can drive us to make foolish mistakes. Who wouldn't be just a bit nervous on receiving a call from the IRS or a desperate grandchild? So it never hurts to be reminded of our vulnerability. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you'll join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.